I'd like to find your place in Exodus chapter 29 tonight. Exodus chapter 29. We've been studying through this Old Testament book together, and we've come to chapter 29, verse 38. If you're keeping notes with me, I'm preaching through the rest of the chapter. Exodus chapter 29, verse 38 through verse 46. I'm enjoying this book as we travel through it together. I hope you are as well. It's good to have Bruce and Amanda Stewart with us tonight, missionaries to the deaf in Africa. And it's always our privilege to have missionaries coming through. God bless you. And I hope our folks will treat you like royalty, because that's what missionaries ought to be treated like. And we appreciate them being here tonight. Exodus chapter 29, look at verse number 38. Now this is that which thou shalt offer upon the altar, two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with the one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. The other lamb thou shalt offer at even and shalt do thereto according to the meat offering of the morning, according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. And I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, and I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest's office. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. I draw your attention to a phrase in verse 42. It's the title of my message tonight. It's the phrase, a continual burnt offering. A continual burnt offering. Now you tell me these offerings in the Old Testament that the bloodshed would basically atone for their sin for a time is a type and a picture of who? Jesus Christ. So as we study this continual burnt offering, we're talking about the Lord is who we're talking about. Let's pray together as we share this thought. Father, we love you tonight. Help us in this Bible study, Lord, to truly know that we've been met with by God. Would you speak to us? Would you challenge us? Would you convict us and change us? And may you help this thought to get across as you've brought it to my attention in my study. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter before us, it's been a while since I've come back to the book of Exodus, I know, but in this chapter before us, we see the Lord has been dealing with the consecration of the priest. He continues his instructions by demanding that a continual burnt offering that consisted of two lambs of the first year would be continually offered day after day. With his instructions, he said, I want you to take one of the lambs and offer it in the morning, and I want you to take the other lamb and offer it in the evening. Now concerning this continual burnt offering, day after day, morning and evening, a lamb in the morning, a lamb at night, a lamb in the morning, a lamb at night, a lamb in the morning, a lamb at night, continual burnt offering. J. Vernon McGee put it well when he said, it speaks of the fact that the people needed a continual reminder that someone was needed to take their place, and that their sin merited death. This offering was, the Bible says, throughout all their generations in verse number 42. Now there's a main thought that the Lord gave me, but before I get to that main thought, let me give you several applicable truths just by means of introduction. I cannot get bogged down here, okay? But these would merit basically a full message in themselves, and I'm just mentioning them in the introduction, just so I can get to the main thought that God gave me through this passage. Let me give you these thoughts. First of all, God is to be worshipped every day continually. Now, this is just by means of introduction. This is not the main thought. These are just seed thoughts for you, okay? What we learn from the continual burnt offering is that God is to be worshipped continually every day, morning and evening. Secondly, we can learn from this that we're to start and end our day with the Lamb. Now, friends, let me tell you something. If you don't get anything else tonight but that'll change your life. You get up in the morning, go to the Lamb of God. You get ready to go to bed at night, go to the Lamb of God. You learn this. Number three, we learn we stand in need of constant consecration. We stand in need of constant atonement, righteousness, and intercession. John Wesley's commentary put it this way: this daily service, a lamb offered upon the altar every morning and every evening, typified the continual intercession which Christ ever lives to make in the virtue of His satisfaction for the continual satisfaction of His church. In other words, we learn from the lamb being slain morning and evening, that we need the lamb and what only the lamb can accomplish. This is number three. Number four, this is just introduction now. I'm getting ready to give you the main thought. Number four, we can learn in these verses that Christ, the Lamb of God, was slain and offered once for all. We see this in Hebrews 10:10-12, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, talking about the Lord, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. See, these lambs that were killed in the morning and the evening, the morning and the evening, the morning and the evening, in the Old Testament, morning and the evening, they could never take away our sin problem. Just for the time being, it might atone for it, but then there is a need for another lamb, and another lamb, and another lamb. But I'm thank God the day when John the Baptist saw the Lord, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." There's no need for Jesus to be slain over and over and over. He was killed once for all. And because of that, we have access into the throne room of God. Number five, the burnt offering is the same for every generation. You see this in verse number 42 where it says, "This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations." In other words, the offering's good enough for the dad is the same offering good enough for the boy. I'm talking about the offering of Jesus Christ does not change from generation to generation. It's the same offering that saved them in the Old Testament is the same offering that saves us in the New Testament. It is Jesus, only Jesus. Good for every generation. Number six, true service is unto God, not unto men. This is found in verse number 44. Now you see where I could spend forever in these thoughts, right? But in verse number 44, notice what the Lord said right here. "I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons," notice this now, "to minister to me." To minister to me. Notice he did not say to serve the people. He did not say to minister unto the people. He said to minister to me. May I say this to you? True Christian service is unto God, not unto man. And what I mean by that is, does service to God include service to man? Absolutely. If you're going to serve God, you will serve man because that's what He tells you to do. But if you're in service to God for man, it's not big enough. You learn this lesson again here in this book, that service is unto God, not unto man. Let me ask you a question. Are you serving God? And I hope you're saying, "Yes, I am." I hope so. If not, you got problems, okay? I hope a Wednesday night crowd comes saying, I want to do something for God. I'm serving God. I'm giving God my life. Here's my question. Why? What's your motive? If your motive is anything other than God, you're missing it. We learned this here. Number seven, we learned that we should never forget what God brought us from. We see this in verse 46. Notice where he said, "And they shall know that I am the Lord their God." Notice this now, "that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I'm the Lord their God." It's interesting that God said this: "I want them to know that I'm the one who brought them out of Egypt." May I say this to you? We do not need to get in the habit of glorifying our past. Matter of fact, I encourage you, unless you're dealing with somebody who is where you were and God delivered you, and by you telling your story it would help them, then by all means use it. But in other cases, do not get in the habit of going back and glorifying, if you will, your past life. And boy, I used to do this and I used to do that. Don't do that. But let me say this to you. Don't ever forget it either. God wants us to remember where we would be if he had not delivered our soul. And may I say this to you? If he did not deliver our soul, we would all be burning in hell. And he wants us to constantly remember that. Now, while more could be said, and that's seven things I gave you right there, okay? And while more could be said by means of introduction, in my study, the Lord pointed out a major thought. Just one major thought. I know those are seven that I gave you, but I'm talking about as far as the outline is concerned. I saw something here that the Lord just said, that's where I want you to park. I want you to park right there. And it's this. It concerns the continual burnt offering that points towards the Lamb of God that was going to be slain once and for all. The main thought that God showed me here was the outcome of it. In other words, because of the continual burnt offering, several things God was going to do. You with me where I'm going here? You see the continual burnt offering in verses 38 down through verse number 41, talking about the lamb and take and offer it, take and offer it. But then in verse number 42, he begins to share some things that God just opened this passage to me in the way that if his instructions were going to be fulfilled, he was saying, I want you to take a lamb in the morning and kill it. I want you to take a lamb in the evening and kill it. I want you to do it every day, morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening. And then in verse 42, it's as if he said, and if you do this, let me tell you what I'm going to do. You got it? You with me where I'm going? The continual burnt offering was necessary to bring about the desire the Lord had to do some things for and with his people. This is blessing my heart right here. Because the thought is, when I bring out these four things I'm going to give you tonight, and it all begins with God. God blanked with his people. God blanked his people. God blanked God with his people, his people, his people. It's all made possible because of the continual burnt offering. Let me give you four things that we see as a result of the continual burnt offering that points toward the one burnt offering that continues for eternity, and his name is Jesus Christ. Let me give you four things. Number one, first of all, because of the continual burnt offering, first of all, number one, we're just going to walk through these verses beginning with verse 42. Number one, God would commune with his people. Now look at verse 42 and notice what I'm saying. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Notice what he says. Where I will meet you. Notice this. To speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel. God said this. I want you to bring these lambs to the door of the tabernacle. That's where the burnt offering, I'm talking about the altar was. We've already studied that altar, traveling through this book. And God said, I want you to bring that lamb in the morning, bring it at night, bring it in the morning, bring it at night, bring it in the morning, bring it at night, because there is where I want to meet with you. And there is where I want to speak to you. Oh, this blessed my heart when I was studying this. The word meet here, get this, where he says, there I will meet with you and there I will meet with the children of Israel. That word meet means I will engage with you. It means I will assemble with you. It means I will gather together with you. He also said, there's where I'm going to speak to you. And here's where I get the word commune. The word speak means to commune. It means to have fellowship with. It means to talk to. Now get this. Blessed thought. Get this. Blessed thought. That the Lord God of eternity wanted to come down and meet, gather, assemble with, engage with the Israelites, open his mouth and speak to them friendly. Now you say, Jody, what is that? That's communion's what that is. That's fellowshipping with him. Here's the thought. It's a blessing for God to gather with sinful man. Amen or not, friends? It's a blessing for an all-holy God to engage with a sinful man. It's a blessing for an all-holy God to gather together with us. And it's a blessing for God Almighty to open his mouth and speak to sinful man. May I say this to you? God wants to spend time with his creation. Do you see this? God is saying, I'm not going to bring them up here, not yet, no. I'm going to come down to them. And I'm going to come to the tabernacle, what I've been telling you to prepare through the book of Exodus, which is a picture of Christ. God coming in the tabernacle. Boy, what a picture of the Lord. He is God. Tabernacled among us, you see. And he says, I want to meet with you. I want to engage with you. I want to come together with you. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to speak to you. I want to talk to you. Do you hear his heart? But he says, I cannot do it without a continual burnt offering. Friends, have you ever had a time when you felt God with you? Has that happened to you? Say amen. You ever had a time when God was speaking to your heart and you knew it? You ever had a time when you were just enjoying fellowshipping with God? Sometimes I wish it was more often, don't you? But have you ever had a time when you know that you're in the presence of God? You ever just felt the Lord's presence with you? I hope you're saying yes. If you're not, you can. By trusting Christ as your Savior. By trusting the continual burnt offering who is the Lord. But I hope you are saying, yes, I felt that. Yes, I've communed with Him. Yes, there's been times when I know God was speaking to me. I'm telling you, the only reason that happened, glory to God, is the continual burnt offering. Because Jesus offered himself once and for all, and it's continuously acting, God can meet with you. God can speak to you. He communes with us. Secondly, because of the continual burnt offering, God not only communes with his people, but number two, God consecrates his people. We see this in verse 43 and 44. Notice it. There I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. I will sanctify the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar. I will sanctify also both Aaron and his sons to minister to me in the priest office. The Lord said at the door of the tabernacle, is where he would sanctify the tabernacle. He would sanctify the altar. And he would sanctify Aaron and his sons to minister to him in the priest's office. You know what the word sanctify means? Consecrate. It means to cleanse. It means to hallow or to purify. See, John Butler said this. By the way, I highly recommend John Butler. Go get some of his books. Great, great, great commentator. He said this, and I quote, purity is vital for God's dwelling place. See, the tabernacle God was going to come to, so it must be consecrated. The altar is where the unblemished sacrifices that God would look upon would be offered, so it must be consecrated. God's priest, and that's who you are if you're saved tonight, are going to minister and come into God's presence, and they must be consecrated. And may I say this to you? Consecration does not come from things. Consecration comes from God. You are not consecrated because you don't do things. And you're not consecrated because there's a list you have of do's and a list you have of don'ts. Now, by the way, let me say this to you. If you're a child of God, you ought to have a list of do's and don'ts. Amen. But your do's and don'ts don't make you consecrated. God does. And may I say this to you, because of the continual burnt offering, God makes human beings holy in His own presence. Do you see what He's saying here? He said, I'm going to come down and My presence will sanctify the tabernacle. My presence will sanctify the altar and My presence will sanctify the priest. He's saying this, if you're going to spend time with Me, you must be pure and you must be holy, and the only way I do it is through the offerings. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Number one, God communes with His people because of the continual burnt offering. Number two, God consecrates His people. He makes them holy. He makes them pure. He sets them apart because of the continual burnt offering. Number three, God continues among His people because of the continual burnt offering. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse 45. I will, what's the next word? Dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may, there it is again, dwell among them. You realize God doesn't just want to meet with you. He wants to dwell among you. You know, it's an interesting word here. He says it twice in verse 45 and then verse 46, that I may dwell among them, dwell among them. You know what that word dwell means? It means to continue. That's where I get the word, continues. It means to continue. It means to remain. It means to inhabit. Look it up. Inhabit. It means to reside or permanently stay with you. Boy, I hope that's encouraging your heart. See, because of the continual burnt offering, get this now. Get this. God wanted to come down in the tabernacle. He had to have a special place. He had to have coverings. He had to have the inner veil. You understand, we've already studied this. But then He said, I want to come to the door of the tabernacle. And I want to meet with you. I want to engage with you. I want to sit down with you. I want to talk to you. And the only way this is going to happen is if you have a continual burnt offering, a lamb in the morning, a lamb at night, in the morning, at night, in the morning, at night. And oh, by the way, if you have this offering the way I'm commanding, I'll never leave. I'll stay right there. You know the great thing about this? Is that if you've accepted the New Testament continual offering, His name is Jesus, it's done for eternity. Which means that if you've accepted that continual burnt offering, that's why God gives you the promise, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Get this, interesting thing today is when one trusts Christ as his or her Savior, the blessed Holy Spirit of God comes to inhabit us, to tabernacle among us, to continue with us, and He's always with His children. He never leaves them. He never forsakes them. The only way this is possible is because our sin has been dealt with for eternity. Are you listening to me? Aren't you glad it's not a continual burnt offering any longer? Aren't you glad it's been done, settled forever? Because, friends, listen to me, nobody's good enough. Anybody says, I'm doing the best I'm going to get to heaven because I'm doing the best I can, you will never make it. Because, friends, one sin's enough to keep you out of heaven. And may I say this to you, even when you got saved, if you have been saved and born again, even if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you're still a sinner saved by grace. And you sin every day of your life, so do I.
But aren't you glad you can put your head on your pillow at night knowing that if you wake up in eternity, you're still going to heaven when you die? It's only possible because the continual burnt offering was slain once and for all on Calvary. And because of that, God looks at sinful man and says, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will continue with you. So my question is God in you tonight? Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. John 14:17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Romans 8:9, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own. Galatians 4:6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. 2 Corinthians 6:16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The reason that God is with you tonight, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, the reason God is with you and He never leaves you is because He has accepted the continual burnt offering of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And if He lives in you, God is dwelling in you. And He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you because of the continual burnt offering. Let me give you the fourth and final thing here. And that is, God not only communes with His people because of the continual burnt offering, He not only consecrates His people because of the burnt offering, He not only continues with them because of the burnt offering, but number four, boy, I like how He ends this, God claims His people because of the burnt offering. You say, what do you mean? Look at verse 45. I will dwell among the children of Israel, notice this now, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord, their God. Their God, their God, their God. You say, what's the point? Notice how the Lord of heaven said that He would dwell among them. And one way He wanted to be identified was, I am their God. And this speaks to my heart. The way the Lord spoke to my heart is how He said three times, I am their God. This goes to show He was not ashamed of them. He was not ashamed to be identified with them. He was not ashamed, here's where I get the word, to claim them, as that's my people. This blesses my heart to think that the all-holy God, who cannot dwell with sin, who cannot even look upon sin, He is completely holy. He created the worlds. He spoke them into existence. It blesses my heart to think that I'm a sinner. I am unholy, I am unworthy. And everything that God is, I am not. But because of the continual burnt offering of the Lord Jesus Christ, God looks at an old country preacher like me who's not coming to Him on my good works, no way. Coming to Him by way of the cross of Calvary, trusting Christ as my Savior, placing my faith in the Son of, in the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the burnt offering, if you will. God looks down at me, an unworthy person, and says, "That's my boy. And I am his God." I don't know if that speaks to you like it does to me. He deserves to be called our God. Amen, friends? But he deserves a whole lot better than us, doesn't he? But to him, he'll take us. What a blessing. This is only possible because of the burnt offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without his accepted sacrifice, God would never say, "I'm their God. I'm their Father. That's my child." You know what the Word of God says in Psalm 144:15, "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Revelation 21:3, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God." Glory. I'm getting blessed right there, friends. Hebrews 11:16, the great hall of faith chapter. Here's what it says. "But now they," God's children who live by faith, "now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city." You know, in this message we've seen four major things about God and his people. He communes with us. He consecrates us. He continues with us. He claims us as his own. And while all of God's children can rejoice in each of these truths, let us understand the reason why God does these four things for and with us. It's all based on what he did for us by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be our sacrificial, continual burnt offering. All of these things are available only because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, let me apply this in two ways and I'm done. If you are saved tonight, you're a child of God. And no doubt a majority, maybe all here tonight, say, "I'm a child of God. I've trusted Christ. I'm not relying on my good works. Nothing. I'm trusting Christ and Christ alone." If you are a child of God, this message and these thoughts of him communing with you and consecrating you and continuing among you and claiming you as his own, it should cause every one of God's children to fall on their faces in adoration and praise and thanksgiving. Because if it wasn't for him, none of that would be true. And if you're not a child of God, this is application number two. You're crazy to reject a God like this. Amen. Crazy. Crazy. Anybody who does not know the Lord as their Savior and dies without Christ, excuse me, is a fool. Because they've stepped over the love and the grace and the mercy and the blood of the Lamb of God that the whole time was saying, "Come to me and I'll give you who I am." But we who have trusted Christ, I think it's time that we just say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." Because without that, without the shed blood, God would not commune with you. God could not consecrate you. He would never stay with you. And he for sure would never claim you as his own. But thank God, all four of those have happened to me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Do you know him?
if you do, it's time to praise Him. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You tonight. Would You help us to lead this in a right way? Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. My invitation is simple and to the point. Have you trusted the burnt offering of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you born again? I'm not asking, are you in church somewhere? I'm not asking how good of a life you've lived. I'm not asking, have you been baptized? I'm asking, have you been born again? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Is God communing with you, consecrating you, claiming you as His own and continuing inside of you? If not, why don't you come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ? A man with a man, a lady with a lady. As Brother Gary just begins to sing, if maybe you're a child of God and you say, I just want to come and get on my face now and say, thank You, Lord, for what You did. And thank You that I can have communion with You. Thank You, Lord, that I've been consecrated by You. Thank You that you have continued with me and You'll never leave me. And thank You that You claim me as Your own. As Brother Gary sings, just get out of your seat and come. Would you do it? If you need to be saved, come on. If you want to come and thank God, come on. Whatever God's telling you to do, obey the Lord. Whatever the Lord's telling you to do, obey the Lord.
Thy blood was shed
for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just sing on, Brother Gary.
Just as I am, Thou wilt receive,
wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief,
because Thou promise,
I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. As they play through, I'd like you to look here just a moment. We're getting ready to have our prayer meeting for our big day. We'll take 5 or 10 minutes or so. When we begin to pray and folks, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, please don't feel like you have to stay. If you need to leave, God understands that, you go. We got done a couple minutes early tonight so we can devote some time to our big day. And I'm gonna have some men come up here momentarily just to pray for our big day as we pray in our seats. And I encourage you, if you're seated there with your mate or somebody that you're comfortable with beside you, grab them as a partner and pray together. I just want to call on the church here. We need to pray for this big day. There's no doubt about it. And I want us to focus our attention on this for the next several weeks. I want to give you some things to pray about, and then when we bow our heads, if you feel like if you need to leave or whatever the case may be, you help yourself. We don't plan to tarry long here, but I'd like you to write some of these things down, or maybe God helping us, we'll try to make this available to you in the future about some special prayer requests for the big day. Some things that I trust you'll pray about working up to this day. And what I want to have is just three different men to pray for us tonight in the pulpit so those who are listening live can participate with us. I'd like to ask Brother Butch Abbott to be one of these, sir, momentarily. And you men can come on and just have a seat up here on the platform if you don't mind. I'd like to have you come to pray with us. I'd like to ask Brother Jack Mosier, sir, if you don't mind to come. I'd like to have you come. And I'm going to have Brother Gary, sir, if you don't mind, as one of our staff members. We've got one of our missionaries, one of our deacons, and one of our staff members who will lead us tonight. And up here, I want you all to pray as God would lead you to pray. But here's the special request that I want to give you that I hope you'll pray with me working up to this big day. First of all, for the invitations that are given out, that it'll find good ground. It'll be good for somebody who needs this invitation to be given it. You see what I'm saying? Let's pray the invitations find good ground. Secondly, let's pray the lost will come that day. Amen.
Let's pray that lost people, children, adults, teenagers, pray they'll come. Even if they've not been invited, pray the lost people will come that day. And pray they'll respond. Now, by the way, this applies to every Lord's Day, not just the big day, but you understand what I'm saying. Number three, pray for Dr. Comfort. Pray for his health. Pray that God will give him liberty and freedom as he preaches. Pray for the altar workers. If I'm going too fast, don't worry about it, because I'll plan on having one of the secretaries type this out for you. Pray for the altar workers to have some wisdom as they deal with people. That's children included. Amen. Pray for children to be saved, and the speakers who speak all over the grounds that day will have the power of God upon them. Pray for the follow-up work after the big day, that we be good stewards of what God sends our way. Pray for the church to have a mind to work. God, help us to have a mind to get these invitations out. Have a mind to work. And finally, there may be other things that the Lord lays on my heart, but pray that God will be glorified. That's the big daddy, if I can say that. Hey, it's all about God, isn't it, friends? Yes, it is. Pray he does these things, not for me, not for you, not even to build this church, but just do it for himself. Amen. I think God's in that. So what we're going to do, I'm going to call the church here into prayer session, okay? And please, if you want to leave, that's no problem. Honestly, if you need to leave or have to leave, God understands. Don't feel like you have to stay. We have three men pray here. We'll take about 5 or 10 minutes or so. And I'll have Brother Butch Abbott to start, Brother Jack Mosier, Brother Gary. I'll have you end us tonight, if you don't mind. Let's all pray. If you want to pray silently, that then help yourself. If you lift your voice a little, that's okay. You just pray however the Lord leads you to pray, okay? But I want them to lead us right here in this pulpit. God bless you. Let's pray together, okay?
Our dear Heavenly Father, we're very happy to be able to come together this evening in a special time of prayer, because we know that what we're trying to do here in this church and getting people into your house under the sound of your word, we know that's the right thing to do. We know that that's the right thing to do. It's biblical. It's right. And yet we know that we can try to do something like that the wrong way, with the wrong heart, the wrong attitude, unless we are very close to you and letting you lead us in all these details of all that's to be done. And we know, Father, that it's important for you to be at the start of all of these activities, at the start of all these efforts. So that's why we're coming now to pray that we'll be doing this your way, that we'll be close to you, right with you, our hearts in tune with you, so that as we go out to offer these invitations and talk to people, invite people in, try to do this thing, that we'll be right with you, that you'll be pleased with us. And if you're pleased with us, we can't help but believe that you'll be pleased with what we're trying to do. We want to do it your way. So, Father, help us to draw close to you, as close as we can possibly get, making sure that we can feel your pulse, hear your breath, hear your heartbeat in all of this, and just know that you're in the middle of this, that you are at the start of this, the instigator of all of these things that we're trying to do, because we want to do something that will draw attention to Christ, to see Christ high and lifted up, that he might get the praise and the honor that he so deserves. And every soul that comes to Christ, every soul that's saved during this effort, is certainly a way of praising Christ and drawing attention to his precious name. We want Christ to be recognized for the great and wonderful Savior that he is, by more and more people. So, Father, be with us in all these things and give us direction in our heart, that wisdom that James speaks of, that wisdom that comes from above, that heavenly wisdom, that divine wisdom that we must have in doing these things in a way that's pleasing to you. So work in our hearts and direct us every step we take, every effort we make. May it be according to your plan and your will, and may it draw many people in looking up to the precious Lord Jesus Christ, because he so deserves that. Thank you for this and what you're going to do in that precious name of Christ. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought tonight, Lord Jesus, we've heard that you, because of what you did, and because I believe that you're the only begotten Son of God, you're not ashamed to call me your child. What a blessing, Lord Jesus. And I thank you and praise you, Lord God. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, now as your child, that you'll show me, Lord, and I have some promises from your word. You said you'd do that, Lord God. I want to give these, Father, as I pray right now, I want to go to these promises that you've given to me, dear God. You've said, first of all, that if we'll call on you, Lord Jesus, you said that you'll hear us and you'll return to us those things, Lord Jesus, that you want us to want to give us. And Heavenly Father, you said that, Lord, if we do that, that you'd answer us and show us great and mighty things that we know not. And Heavenly Father, in my life, I know that's happened, and I know it will happen again, Lord Jesus. I know it'll happen with these people as we come to you tonight, and as we come to you during these next few days, few weeks, Lord God, that we trust you, Lord Jesus. And you said, call unto me. And you promised us you'd do that, Lord. That's not something we conjured up or anything. That's your word that you said you'd do that. And Heavenly Father, I believe that with all my heart. And we've practiced that. We've done that. And Lord, I thank you for that promise that you've given to us. And dear God, we've built our heart and our life around that promise. And dear God, then you said that in Proverbs 16, I believe verse 3, you said, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And Lord, ever since I got right with you many years ago, you've established my heart to go to church. When the door's open for church, I need to be there, Lord. You established my heart to have my family in the house of God. And Lord Jesus, you've established my heart that we would be able to invite others to come, Lord Jesus. And that's what we ought to be doing now. And Heavenly Father, you've told us to do that. You've said it would work, Lord God. You promised you'd do that. And you have established my heart. Lord, I've done a feeble job. I've not done very well at it, Lord Jesus. And I don't claim to be a very good Christian, but I know in my soul that if I'll call on you and ask you, Lord Jesus, you'll establish my thoughts. And if I'll commit my works, that you'll establish those, not on worldly things, but on those things that mean the salvation of lost souls. And then, Lord, the third thing that I've built around my life, Lord Jesus, is that you said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And Heavenly Father, during this campaign that we're in today, I've had a desire ever since it started, Lord, to pass out these invitations. It's amazing how easy it is, Lord, when you decide to do it. People receive those joyfully. They're impressed with the color and the design, and Lord Jesus, the words. I had a man come to me this week, Lord God, and came back and said, I like the way this ends. And it was with Romans 10:13, Lord God. Oh, Heavenly Father, how wonderful it is when we just set our heart to serve you, and you promise you'd do that. And Lord, I ask you tonight to put on the hearts of every person that's here tonight to get in this thing and really and truly set their heart on serving you and working and doing something that will bring lost people, Lord Jesus, to the foot of the cross during this campaign. Dear God, a special day is something we ought to honor you every day, dear Father. But this time, Lord God, help us to put special emphasis on this and really lift up the Lord's Christ. I thank you, Lord God. These are promises that are sure. They're as sure as I'm standing here in this Bible in my hand. And dear God, would you help us to believe that and go forward for the glory of God. I thank you for our pastor. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the emphasis, Lord, on missions and on getting people saved, because I know that's the heart of God. Help us to put our heart into it, Lord, and do it for your glory, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Lord, we are so excited about this special day and these invitations, and Lord, what you've called us to do, my, what an opportunity to touch thousands of lives with the gospel of Christ. And we're just asking you, Lord, to help us as church members and staff members to be faithful everywhere we go this week in handing out these invitations. And Lord, there are people all around us in our regular walk of life who need to come to Christ and who need to get in church. And Lord, just Spirit of God, you know who they are. You know who I'm going to talk to tomorrow and who I will see Friday, who I will see Saturday. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to be an obedient servant and just give these out to the people you want them to have, Lord. And God, may they be in the right hands and that these people would respond to the gospel and that the invitation would come. And Lord, just help us to be faithful, just to be faithful now during the next 4 weeks and in handing out these invitations. And God, touch each one and bless them and use them to draw people to yourself. And as Pastor mentioned, we pray that as we leave our service on that day on the 20th, that people would not say, wow, what a great church, or what a great message, or what a great pastor or preacher. But may they say, my, what a great God. And Lord, we desire to lift you up. And we desire that the music that day, that the preaching that day, the teaching that day, that it would all lift you up, that our spirits, that the way we respond to people would exalt you, and that people would leave this place with the right view of God, and that you'd be glorified in all these things, Lord. Just help us now, I pray. We're a month away, Lord. Help us just to be obedient and do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being here, folks. God bless you. If you are a guest and you fill out one of those cards, please stop by the Welcome Center. Some of those invitations are out there as well. You're dismissed. Thank you.